Good morning. It's good to know that He cares, isn't it? But He not only cares, He's able. He's able to undertake for us. He's able to meet our every need. And really what's on my heart this morning is a very, very simple, a very, very well-known scripture verse that has been a blessing to me for many, many years. I have alluded to it. I don't know, even if I've spoken about it here, it doesn't really matter, because the Lord has laid on my heart to share it again as a reminder to myself and all of us of that fact, that not only does He care, but He is able. In fact, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Though we're not a very large group here this morning, I am always sure that we carry various burdens, various concerns, difficulties that we might be struggling with. We wonder, I can't handle it anymore. I can't do it anymore. Is there an answer? Is there a solution to this particular thing I'm up against? And it's wonderful to be able to come to the Word of God that we spoke of last Sunday. The Word which is powerful, it's alive. Remember? It really is. And it can meet our every need. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. It is a, as I said, it is so familiar that for most of you, probably all of you, we hardly need to turn to it. But I desire we read it again this morning. Philippians chapter 4. In the King James translation, it says, I can do all things, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens or strengtheneth me. In the NIV it reads, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I've had a problem over the years, and Judy knows it well. And that's this, I've had a tendency to be very quick to say, I can't do it. I can't handle that. Many, many a time I found myself up against challenges and difficulties, and my natural response, always natural response is, no, I can't. A reasonably reasoned one is this whole thing of computers. It drives me nuts. And she has heard me say many a time, and I can't. It is beyond me. This stupid machine. I mean, this wonderful thing called computers. That's my natural bent. I tend to say that. I tend to go that way. But I'm afraid that all of us do it in some areas. There are some who say, I can't control my temper. I can't control my thought life. I can't help feeling this way toward that person, whatever that feeling is. Or maybe we have said, well, no, I can't participate. I can't teach Sunday school. I can't witness for the list goes on and on. And it varies from person to person, right? And maybe there are some here who have never in their lives said, I can't. I was going to say, would you please stand up so we could bow to you, but we won't do that this morning because you'd probably be a liar if you did. Because most of us, we have, there are areas where we feel we can't cope anymore. We can't handle it. We just don't have what it takes. And I have found this particular verse to be a tremendous reminder to me of a resource that is mine in the Lord. And it's been a tremendous encouragement to just come back and to remind myself, not only that is not true, what you're thinking. The psalmist says, through God we can do what? Valiantly. Paul says, we are more than what? Conquerors through Him. Nothing is impossible to him who what? Believes. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. And this verse says, I can do some, no. Don't you sometimes wish he said some? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, who is sufficient for these things? Another translation says, who is equal to this task? And he goes on a few verses later to say, our sufficiency is of God. That's what Paul said. I want you to think about this particular verse this morning. We'll broaden into the context in a little bit. But I want you to think about three things relative to this verse. First of all, for us as believers, it is important that we learn to say, I can. Secondly, it is imperative that we learn to say it right. And thirdly, it is impressive to consider the possibilities when we learn to quote Philippians 4:13 right. So think with me about that for a minute. First of all, I believe it's important that we learn to say, I can, in this particular sense. Do you think Paul was bragging, by the way? Do you think this was just some idle boast on his part? Do you think he really meant this? No. He was speaking evangelistically, right? Did he really mean what he said here? This is the same Paul who said that he served God in simplicity and godly sincerity. 2 Corinthians 1:12. And when Paul spoke here, I believe he spoke in all simplicity, but also in all godly sincerity. He meant every word of it when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He meant it. And I have found for myself, it's become very, very important for me to learn to say that. To remind myself, yes, I can't. We'll come back later to what it's imperative we say it right. But it's important for me not to be so quick to say, no, I can't. Or rather learn to say, I can. I remember going to the Philippines and back in 83 to serve for, we served for 10 years. And the particular responsibilities I was going to have in the Philippines, it necessitated me visiting our tribal missionaries. I was kind of responsible with some others for the coordination of the work of about 130 missionaries or so that were on the Philippines. And it meant going into these tribal areas in very, very remote spots where we were not going to be hiking in. We knew that we were going to have to fly into those small airstrips, little, you know, tiny, short airstrips on maybe a Super Cub that holds 2 passengers or a big plane that holds 4 passengers. Okay? Now, it just so happens that I am scared silly of flying. I am. I do not like, to this day, you know how much I fly, right? I don't like flying. I'm afraid of heights. I couldn't even go up on this roof. I'm serious. I feel like I'm being pulled off. And Judy, on the other hand, she loves to fly. I think there's something wrong with her because we were meant to be on earth, but that's beside the point. I don't like to fly. But I realized that God had called me to a ministry that was going to entail that. And my first reaction was, guess what? I can't do this. This is beyond me. You mean I got to go into this little thing here? One little engine? There's hardly room, literally, in the Super Cub for me to get inside the thing. Fortunately, we had a big one that held 4 passengers. And lo and behold, on my first flight, I'm getting a little detoured, but no extra charge on this, okay? But on this first flight I'm on, and Judy's not with me on this flight, but there's another, I'm going to visit to a tribal area. One of our older missionaries was serving in Bolivia as a pilot, was over there visiting. And he and I were going to go in, and this, of course, and the pilot himself. And so I was sitting in the back of this little airplane, and this older man who had been a pilot for many, many years, and the younger guy who actually was the pilot, they were up front. But we were flying in a Helio Courier, And this older pilot had never flown himself one of these. And the pilot doesn't know, and the older man did not know that Ole, who now, I happen to be the field director or the field chairman for UCAT, that I, you know, in my position, I was scared silly of flying. This is my first flight. And so, as we are sitting there at the runway, ready to take off, the pilot leans over to the guy next to the older guy next to him and says, you know, when we get up in here, I'll show you what this plane can do. And I about had a heart attack. But being the proud guy I was not going to say a word. I'll tell you, I did not think I was going to make it. Because we took off, and he meant it. He showed him stalling in the air, you know, dropping in, and you know. I don't know how often I say I can't, Lord, but that's my, you know. Fortunately, not fortunately, on the next flight, by the way, it was Judy and I gone. And Judy knew this. And the pilot said, you know, what do you want? Do you want a scenic route or do you want something different? And Judy said, let's have the scenic. I thought, oh, honey. But again, the pilot didn't know. And so he goes, you know, all over the place and scared the wits out of me. But over and over again, I found myself, as I had to make those trips, I can't do it. But I came back to the fact, you know, God has called me to this ministry. He's going to have to give me grace for that time. And over the years, I've learned to not be so quick to say, I can't. But it's still a struggle. You know, the Israelites had that problem too. They really did. They were going to go into the promised land. There were some spies that were sent into the land, correct? 12 of them, in fact. 12 men went in, they looked over the land, and then they came back and they gave a report. And 10 of the men came back and reported. In fact, all of them reported basically the same about the land. There's a land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, there are giants there. But 10 of them said what? We can't do it. But 2 of them said what? We are more than capable of doing it. That is going in and conquering the land. Majority won. Correct? The majority, by the way, is not always right. So much for democracy. Right? It's not always right. In this case, they were wrong. But 10 of them said, no, we can't do it. It's impossible. The giants are too big. It is not going to work. And Joshua and Caleb said what? We are more than able to go in and take the land. In fact, those giants, they are bred to us, it says. They're bred to us. The bigger they are, the more we have to eat, if you will. Don't worry about them. God will take care of them. But they said, 10 said no. And they listened to the 10. And as a result, what? They ended in the wilderness for 40 years. I'm afraid there are many a time that we as believers end up with wilderness experiences because we are unwilling to step out by faith and say, by God's grace, I can. We hold back when the Lord says, I want you to go. I want you to step out by faith and reach out to that neighbor. I want you to do this by faith, whatever that might be. Instead, we tend to do the other and say, I can't. But if it's important to learn to say, I can, it is imperative that we learn to say it right. Now, I want you to look at that verse, though. Suppose Paul had said, I can do all things, period. That would have been a lie. That would have been deceitful. That would not have been the case at all. Right? Because this verse here is not a verse about the power of positive thinking. Not at all. Now, I realize there are those who claim that if we can only convince ourselves that we can, then we can. That's not what this verse is talking about. This is not talking about the power of our minds convincing ourselves. This is not some kind of a trickery here where I can just trick myself into believing that I can and then I'm going to be able to. That's not what this verse is. It is imperative that we learn to say this verse right, this truth right. that I'm afraid there are even believers who are misquoting this verse and misapplying the truth of this particular scripture verse, as wonderful as it is. Because here, the issue is not dependent on our mind, but dependence on somebody else. Notice, first of all, what it says. I can do all things because I'm a Christian. Is that what it says? No. I can do all things because I'm an elder. No. I can do all things because I'm a deacon. No. I can do all things because I'm a missionary. No. Right? No. What does it say? I can do all things through Christ. There's the first thing. Through Christ. And then it says, through Christ who, what? Strengthens, notice, present tense, me. You see, implied in that wonderful promise is a condition. And the condition is, first of all, that we have a relationship with Christ, and secondly, that we have daily, regular, ongoing fellowship with Him. That's the stake here. It's not just the power of positive thinking. It's not just convincing myself, yes, I can, so I can. Nuh-uh. Not that at all. The promise Paul said is that ours here is that we can do all things through Christ. It implies the fact that I'm related to Him. That He is my Savior, right? That I have put my faith and confidence and trust in Him in terms of my relationship with Him. That I am born again. That's implied there. This verse is not for the unsaved. This is not a verse that we can give the man on the street who doesn't know the Lord Jesus and say, well, the Bible says that you can do it. No. This is for those who have put their faith and confidence in the finished work of Christ on their behalf at Calvary. Who through faith in Christ have been born again. Who have received Him as their personal Savior. I trust all of us have this morning. Because that's who this verse is for. But it's more than that. It is to those who, what? I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Not who gave me strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know about you, but there are times I live on past blessings. You ever? I live on past experiences. I live on something that happened yesterday, or last week, or last year. And those experiences are wonderful, by the way. It's wonderful to look back and rejoice in what God has done. Is that true? Is it helpful? Yes, it is. By the way, in my car, I have some nice things in my car. One of them is a rear view mirror. How many of you have that in your car? Any of you? I have a rear view mirror in my car. Well, when I drive, I use it some. I will glance at that rear view mirror to see what's behind me. It is a help in terms of safe driving to have a rear view mirror, right? Sometimes when you look in that mirror, you don't like what you see. Right? Steve and I were on our way to Wisconsin the other day. When was it, June? In June. And I looked up in the mirror, and guess what I saw in the mirror? A car coming from behind me, and there's a light going like this. And you know what happens? The automatic reaction. It can't be me. Lo and behold, it was me. He comes up next to me. Over, you know. And so I went over to the side, and lo and behold, he caught me speeding. Judy has distracted. No, it wasn't because of that. It was my fault. I had been careless. I was careless, and I had to pay a fine. By the way, that guy didn't believe in grace at all. Not at all. There was no mercy whatsoever. I didn't like what I saw in the rearview mirror at that time. But basically, it's a good thing to have in a car, isn't it? It is healthy to look back. Guess what?
What if you drive, you become preoccupied with a rearview mirror? What's going to happen? You're going to have an accident. You better not do that. Always find it's healthy to look back and talk about our old past, our past, the old traditions, all the rest of it. What's important, we look forward, right? Yes, it's good to look back and rest. God helped me yesterday. He helped me the day before. But this is not talking about the past. It's talking about the present. And so the condition there is, what's your relationship with the Lord today? What's your fellowship with Him like today? Are you walking with Him this morning? Or is there anything between, as Him says, is there anything between you and the Savior? I don't know if there is. Only you and He know. And He desires we make that right. So there's nothing hindering, because that's what, who this promise is for. It's for those who are in union with Him, who are in such fellowship with Him, that He is able to live His life through us. I can do all things through Him who infuses inner strength through my life. And that means John 15, that I am a, what? Abiding in the vine. Right? I can do all things. There's a wonderful balance in saying this, right? Paul doesn't say there, I can do all things, does he? No. Nor does he say that God can do all things, though that's true. What does Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do it through Him. He desired what? To manifest Himself through us. He desires to demonstrate His power and His grace and His mercy through us, His children, His body. He desires to work in us and through us. I can never get away from those verses in John 16. When it says, the Lord Jesus, you don't need to turn to it, but it reminds me of this particular truth. When the Lord Jesus says, it is expedient, it is to your advantage that I go back to heaven. Is that what he said? Yeah. Because if I go back, I will send the Holy Spirit, right, to you. It's good that I go because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Then the next verse says this, listen. And when He is come, who is He? The Holy Spirit. When He is come, He will, what? Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's what the verse says. He says, it's good that I go because when the Holy Spirit, I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and when He has come, He's going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. For years, I thought that meant this. That it was good that the Lord Jesus went back because He was going to send the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit was going to roam around the world and convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. True to a point. But that's not what the verse says. Now, what did He say? He said, it's expedient that I go, because if I go, I will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter to whom? To you, and when He is come, where? Where? To you, He will convict the world of sin. Well, you know what it says? That God desires through us by His Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin and of righteousness. Wow, what an incredible responsibility. What an incredible responsibility that God wants us to be a witness in that way. That when people see our lives and hear our conversations, they are through us by the Holy Spirit convicted of sin. That's the balance here. He says, I can do all things through Christ. But if there's one little verse here in chapter 4 that troubles me, it is a three-letter word. I don't know about you, but for me, that's the one that's giving me the most trouble. When it says, I can do what? All. Right. Don't you wish you just said some? No, maybe not. Now there are those who claim the world, that means I can do all things. That's what it says, isn't it? Well, what does it mean? Let's say, for example, this morning, that one of you here this morning, let's just say it's you, okay? You think about yourself here this morning, and you realize you're having some physical problems, and
and it's your heart. It's starting to give you trouble.
And you're going to need
open heart surgery.
Okay? And you know you need to do it fairly soon. And you may not have all the insurance that you will cover all the expenses involved in this thing, but you know that you're going to need that kind of a surgery pretty soon. But I come to you as a believer who is walking with the Lord, and I say to you, brother or sister, I can really help you out. I said, why don't you? I could save you a lot of money. And if you will just let me do the surgery on it. Okay? I'll do it for you. In fact, I won't charge you a dime. I'll do it free of charge. And you say, well, do you have any medical training? No, I really don't. I had a little bit of what we called field medicine many, many years ago in terms of tropical disease. Well, I know nothing really about medicine. I hate to give shots. I don't even want to be near anything that has to do with medicine. Really. I don't. But I can do it for you. And you say, well, wait a minute, Ollie, you don't have the training. But, brother, sister, the Bible says that Ollie can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Is that what the verse says, that I can do all things?
Yes.
Let me ask you this. How many of you this morning would allow me to do open heart surgery on you? Let me see. How many of you? Well, don't you believe this verse? See, that's the problem. People misread the verse. They read into the verse what they should. I hope you won't ask me to do any surgery. By the way, you won't survive it for one. Okay? Because that's not what this verse means. Can I say this? All does not mean all in that sense. In that sense. Let me illustrate it negatively, first of all. There are times when the Bible says nothing, and it doesn't really mean nothing, not one thing. In John 15, the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, when he talks about abiding in a vine, he says about abiding in him, and then he ends at verse 5, in chapter 15 of John, it says, for apart from me, you can do how much? Nothing. But wait a minute. What in the world does that mean? Apart from me, you can do nothing. I know unbelievers that are apart from him, and they are doing a lot. I have known of believers who have not been walking with the Lord. In fact, they were under church discipline, as we call it. They were under discipline by the assembly because of sin, and yet they were accomplishing a lot in terms of being successful businessmen and all the rest of it. And yet the Lord says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That troubled me for a while, by the way, till I came to realize who was speaking, the Lord Jesus. What is his definition of nothing versus my definition of nothing? And I came to the conclusion that what the Lord is talking about is this. If it's not of eternal consequence, it is nothing. Though it may look ever so impressive from our viewpoint, as far as the Lord is concerned, it's really nothing. And that brother I was thinking about who was living in sin and still being a successful businessman, yes, in our eyes he was doing a lot. He was accomplishing a lot physically. He looked successful. But in God's accounting, it was a huge zero. Nothing doesn't mean nothing in that sense. Well, in the same way, all doesn't mean all here. What does he mean then? Well, I think there's a verse in the Psalms, if we can just turn there very quickly, I think it will illustrate it for us. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And verse 4. And this will illustrate what I mean or not, but it helps me at least. In Psalm 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, those who have read that verse in the meaning of the Lord is going to give me the desires of my heart. So whatever my desires are, God has promised to give them to me. No, that's not what this verse says. There is a condition there. What is it? Delight yourself in the Lord, and when you delight yourself in the Lord, guess what the desires of your heart will be? They will be in line with His will. They will be in line with His purpose for you. They will be the things that He delights to give to you. It is not a blanket, a blank check that I can fill in whatever. No. When I delight in the Lord, He will indeed give me the desires of my heart. Going back now to the Philippians. When he says here, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I'm walking in fellowship with Him, when I'm allowing Him to be my strength, when I'm walking in that kind of consciousness, if you will, of His presence with me, when I'm delighting in His fellowship, I will be able to do all the things He lays on my heart to do. I was able to do the flying in the Philippines. I have been able to do other things I didn't think I could do. Why? Because they were within the parameter of His will, His plan for me. I believe that's what this is talking about here. And if the Lord has laid a particular thing on your heart to do, you can. You can. Now, if it's important to learn, I can. Can. And imperative to learn to say it right. It's impressive to consider the possibility. And we don't have time to look at them all this morning, but just look for a very brief moment here at the context that will show us what the possibilities are. Notice some of the things that Paul talks about just in chapter 4 that you and I can, because they are within His will. The first one is, in verse 1, he talks about compassion. He talks about his love for his brothers and sisters in the Lord. Have you ever found yourself saying or thinking, I just can't love him? I just can't love her anymore? I have. I can't. Right? Wait a minute. I can't. Love is not an emotion. It's emotion. It's a choice, right? The Lord says, you can. I can unconditionally love my brothers and sisters in the Lord, regardless of how they have treated me or are treating me. I can, if I allow Him to live His life through me. This is what 4:13 speaks about. Paul says he loved these brothers and sisters in the Lord. He says, whom I love. And maybe there's somebody here this morning, or somebody out there this morning, that you can think of, boy, I have a hard time loving her. I have a hard time loving him. No, in my own strength, I can. I can. But if I will, he can through me. He really can. Secondly, verse 2 and 3 talk about not only compassion, but being conciliatory, being reconciled to one another. There were two ladies here that didn't get along, and ladies do not have a monopoly on that problem. There are men that don't get along too. The Lord says we can be reconciled. We can be united. We can be one. Why do I know we can? Because that's His plan. That's His will for my life. That if I am walking in fellowship with Him, allowing Him to live His life through me, I can be reconciled to those that I may be struggling to have a relationship with. Another thing it says in verse four, is that we can be cheerful. We can be joyful. So often we maybe feel, man, I can't anymore. I'm sick and I don't have any money and all of these things. But he says, verse four, rejoice in the Lord. And that's where it's found, by the way, is rejoicing, not in circumstances, not in success, but in the Lord. Always. Don't you wish Paul wouldn't always put this all and always in? You wish. But you know something? That's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is supernatural. Natural man, the unsaved man, can rejoice once in a while. You and I can have joy always. treasures in the Lord, right? We can also do something else. We can not only be cheerful all the time, but we can be considerate of one another all the time. Let your gentleness or consideration, your gentleness be evident to all men. The Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. How about being considerate of one another, right? You find yourself short at times with somebody? What did John Wesley said? He met an agnostic on a narrow bridge where only one person could pass. We're going to a little creek. And he met this other agnostic, and this agnostic said, "I never yield to a fool." And John Wesley said, "Well, I always do." And he stepped aside. Well, the verse there, he has to do with yielding. It has to do with yielding our preferences, not our convictions. Okay? What are our preferences? Considering the other person, we can, with the Lord's help. There's more in these, but you can look at, actually, when you look through the whole chapter, and some of the issues that Paul addresses there, a big one there is in verse 8 and 9, our thought life. How many of us haven't thought, "I can't control my thought life. I can't help thinking about such and such." No, I can't, but he can if I will. He can if I will. If I will let him, I don't have to dwell on that. But that's exactly what the enemy often hits, isn't it? That's what I thought. It was Spurgeon who said, "You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from making a nest in your hair." We don't have to dwell on those thoughts. We can. A little later on, he talks about the fact that we can be content too. The King James says, "In whatever state you are," right? That has nothing to do with Florida. It's whatever situation we are in. He was in. He had learned to be content. That verse has been a tremendous encouragement to me. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." A wonderful promise. It really is. But it does have a condition. And that condition is that we're enjoying sweet fellowship with him. And if that's the case, can I say this? The sky is the limit. It's what God can do in us and through us. So I just want to remind us of that familiar verse this morning, that as we go from here today, and whatever we face this coming week, unfortunately, can I say this? We do not know what it is. Maybe circumstances and situations that we never anticipated. Maybe the Lord will bring us back to this verse and realize, yes, as I take it moment by moment, walking in fellowship with him, I can cope. I can be more than conqueror through him who loves. Pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray your blessing on these thoughts this morning. We pray that you'll take the truth of them and just sink them deep into our hearts and minds, and help us, Lord, to recall the truth of your word as we face difficult situations in the days ahead. We know we live in this world and in this flesh. There are many things that come our way that aren't pleasant, but we praise you, Lord, for the resources that we have as believers in yourself, that we can walk by faith and trust you to work in us and through us. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to go forth in our own willpower and determination, but trusting your power to work in us and through us. And we thank you for this precious promise this morning that we indeed, as believers, can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.